don't think it makes him a bad guy. I think it makes him hotter, but that's a conversation for me and my therapist. Not me and you.
That's true. Oh, there's the cold open.
Oh, God help me.
Greetings, savory inferiors, and welcome to Vampire Insider. Vampire Insider is an after-show podcast about AMC's Immortal Universe, including Interview with the Vampire, the Mayfair Witches, and the upcoming Talamasca. Created for fans by fans, each week we recap and analyze the episode, discuss standout characters, explore Easter eggs, and provide you with a highly scientific and highly reliable body count. In today's episode, we are neck deep in preseason discourse. The fandom insisted and AMC delivered with lots and lots of new preview content for us to dissect. We are talking about the season titles and what we think is going on in those episodes, the latest and greatest teaser, especially Devil's Minion coding, and what is going on with that gravel. And we speculate a bit on a theory. What would have happened if Paul didn't die? And now let's listen to a trailer that we're going to be discussing and analyzing a lot throughout this episode.
Who are you, Louis?
I'm the reticent vampire of the ninth arrondissement. I walk the night, capturing disappointment and regret. Wait, stop the tape. We should get every detail right.
I'm listening.
Come. And bring the petite beauty.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Théâtre des Vampires.
Perhaps this would be a time to take a break, Louis.
It's different here. I love it. I never want to leave.
The coven has grand designs for her.
Who's that handsome man on the wall?
The finest actor ever to walk our stage, Lestat de Liancourt.
We both now exist in two different worlds.
The coven master has the power of life and death.
Will you abide by the laws?
I will.
You've remembered, Claudia.
I'm remembering it now.
It's never been about me.
All those years coming back.
I want to know for me what happened between us.
I want to tell the real story.
Okay, so let me now greet my co-host, Joanne Palumbo. Hi, Joanne.
Hello, Christina LaRusso. How are you doing today?
I'm good. After we've got all our technical situations sorted out, that's always a great feeling.
It wouldn't be an episode if we didn't have technical difficulties. One day, we're going to record an episode from beginning to end, and there aren't going to be any technical difficulties.
I don't know. We're going to be rolling into some guest hosts. You know everybody who's coming on. We've got so many great people from the fandom lined up to be serve as sort of Mark's proxy for the empty chair, the empty host chair. And so we're really excited to have those folks come on, but also be for sure there's going to be some kind of technical snap.
Look, we have to get our shit together, not only for our upcoming guests, but when AMC finally gives us Sam Reed or Jacob Anderson or craft services lady, we're going to want to have our shit together for that.
Yeah,
so we have to really figure this out.
We really do. Oh, that's on me.
Well, you know what? I think when that happens, I'm just going to come to Florida and record with you in studio. So we'll just do it that way.
It'll be a hype house in Florida.
And I'm going to fly out like a week in advance because with our luck with flights, it'll get canceled and then I'll miss Jacob Anderson and it'll just be awful. So
just as best if you just move here and we Golden Girl it up. Oh, Lord.
Hold on. I'm booking my flight. Give me 1 second.
All right. So we are in exciting times, Joanne. The fandom is thrilling. Alive.
I was just listening to Spaces before we got on, and I put it on, and I had every intention of like focusing on it, and then work got in the way, and I completely lost it. But I've seen so many Spaces the last few days, the last week. Everybody is getting amped up and excited, and there's a lot of buzz, and people are on their way to New York for the premiere.
Oh, those lucky ducks.
No, I'm very happy for those people. Very sad for us.
I know, it is sad. Hey, man, we could have gone. We just already had our New York trip this year.
That is true. We should have really timed it better.
We just didn't know. I mean, we could have done this or Chicago. I don't know. I still feel like Chicago was a good choice, though.
We'll get there one day.
We will. We will. We'll definitely be at the Anne Rice Ball in the autumn. So that's going to be a fun and exciting trip. So, all right. So today's episode, Joe, we are going to talk about quite a few things. So we'll try and keep things condensed, but deep.
That was my nickname in high school. Condensed, but deep. Oh! I don't even know what that means. I don't Holy know. I just knew I had to make a joke.
Yeah, right. We're going to start out, I think. Should we look at, what do you want to talk about first? Titles?
Titles. Yeah, let's do those.
All right. So let's talk about the titles. We have been lucky because this week, Rotten Tomatoes put up the full list of titles in order, except for title 8, season or episode 8. So we thought it would be fun to have a conversation about those titles and where they are in the book and possibly, you know, how are they influenced by what's going on in the book? Maybe how is that informing that episode? And what scenes from the trailers we might see in those episodes, just our best guesses.
Yeah. And it was kind of fun going through the titles because once I went back and read them as a whole, it really kind of laid out nicely the format to what I predict anyway, which is probably right. Let's face it, for the entire season. And it looks pretty good way that they've laid it out.
It does look good. So episode 1 for season 2 is called What Can the Damned Really Say to the Damned? This happens in the book when they are leaving for Europe. This happens after the Lestat murder.
Attempted murder.
Attempted murder. But in the book, and I think it's important to say that in the book spoiler, everyone, Lestat is killed by knife and his throat is cut and thrown into a swamp. And then he comes back and accosts Louis and Claudia at their townhouse, and they have to burn it down. And Louis burns the townhouse down. So there were kind of two killings of Lestat in the book, or two attempted murders.
And neither stuck.
And in the end, even the burning didn't stick for Lestat. So this quote, what can the damned really say to the damned, is something that happens on the way to Europe or in Europe?
I think it's on the way to Europe. Louis says it to Claudia as they're either just getting started on their journey or on their way to Europe. And I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory if you really sit down and think about it. They're looking for other vampires. They know that, you know, and what can the damned really say to the damned? What is it that him and Claudia think, right? What is it that him and Claudia think they can possibly learn from these other new vampires? I think she's expecting a whole lot, and maybe in some way he is too, but you know, I don't think they're really going to, I don't think at that moment he was expecting too much, and he knows they're damned too. So really what sort of light can they give them? Right. It's not going to be good, whatever it is. It's not going to be this beautiful world for them because they're all damned.
100%. I see that you're adding in sort of that layering of the meaning of the word damned, like damned writ large, but then also damned in Louis's mind, because this whole thing is about Louis sort of struggling with the idea of, you know, like, am I now of the devil? Am I damned? He's constantly grappling with that. And so there's, what can the damned really say to the damned is, like, again, writ large, the damned, or the damned meaning you and me, Claudia, we're the damned in my way of thinking.
I took it as, like, because it's on their way to search for the existence of other vampires and stuff like that. It's about the nature and the, not nature, but the, or like the beginning of vampirism, you know, almost kind of like they're, he wants to know about their existence. Do others exist? Are they like Lestat? Are they like her? Are they like him? What is it going to be? So that's kind of how I took it.
Oh, and absolutely. I think that that's it. But I think that he has that, like you said, kind of fatalistic attitude. Like, they're damned, we're damned, everybody's damned. What can we really learn from one another? Because isn't the point of learning maybe to ascend, right? So his point is, we're going looking for these people, but in the end, is this kind of a fool's errand? Because what can they tell us about ourselves?
Correct.
That's what I'm thinking, and I think that you're thinking that too. Okay, so in the series, this is going to, to me, say that that first episode is their travel to Europe. Has to be, right?
Right.
We're going to go. So we're going to start out essentially where we left off with the coffin ship.
Or a vampire cruise line, if you will. I don't know.
Vampire cruise line is, you know, ready to take them overseas to where the war is happening. And they're going to then disembark in Europe. Presumably, if it seems to me that they're following the lead of the book on this, they're going to end up somewhere in Eastern Europe, on the kind of on the Eastern front. Because remember, we see in Claudia's diary that entry about Ploiești.
Right.
Remember that trailer where Louis says the blood is bad here?
Yes. Yeah, that was an old trailer. Wow.
Yeah, that's going back. That's one of the earlier ones. That,
I mean, they've really been teasing us with these trailers for months now. I forgot.
I know.
About
it's so exciting. I love it. I love that they're giving us a lot to really chew on. But yeah, so I think it's going to start in Eastern Europe, and then that's where we're going to see all of those scenes that look Revenant like or like warlike. Yes. Where they're in their outdoorsy looking gear and they're, you know, with rucksacks and stuff, and they're just kind of tramping through Eastern Europe trying to find vampires, and they find revenants. And this is exciting.
Louis and Claudia backpacking through Europe. Yeah, it's...
it is. It's their first year out of college. They've matriculated from Lestat University, and off they go backpacking across Europe.
Exactly.
That's it.
Sometimes that doesn't end well.
I don't think this is going to end well. I mean, all right. So that's episode one. And I bet you we don't get to Paris until the very, very end of episode one.
That's kind of what I was thinking, because when we get into what episode two is, that it makes sense that we're already in Paris. So I can't imagine that the Revenants and the journey and all of that, like leaving New Orleans, is going to be able to be done in just, you know, 10 minutes of the episode. So I think it's going to be towards the very, very end we're going to get to Paris.
Yeah, I think
there is still a lot that needs to be covered, but we're definitely going to get there.
Yeah. And we're going to get establishing, you know, like, what is the situation in, you know, Europe with Louis and Claudia, and what role is Lestat playing in that, if any? Is he already kind of haunting them, or like is Louis already sort of hallucinating him? So I think you'll get that and getting there and the, you know, all of the stuff that we talked about at the end, getting to Paris. But there's also everything that's going on in Dubai. And remember, a bomb has dropped in Dubai, because now Daniel knows he's not with one, but two vampires. And one of them, in at least in Armand's mind, maybe at this point, if it's kind of following books, is that he's the most ancient of the vampires. One of the most.
And he's a murder goblin.
As Mark would say, oh, poor Armand. I don't know. He doesn't seem very murder. Like, he's not impish enough to be murder goblin-y. He's just sort of like, I don't know.
The ravenously group. Murderous.
He is ravenously murderous.
He's just a bad dude.
I don't know. I think he's bad in a really good way because I'm just, wow, Armand.
If you could see me, I'm rolling my eyes right now.
Here. I can't help it. I don't know what it is about.
You love Armand.
It's Assad. I would never, like, you know, I mean, if they were going to represent book Armand, definitely I would never be interested in him. But even if they would age him up, like, Antonio Banderas, like, no, pass. I'm still
never have Assad on our show because
we couldn't have any of them on. Be for fucking real right now.
No. Oh, I could interview Sam Reed and Jacob Anderson. I could do it. I can do it. You, on the other hand, with Assad.
Oh, I no. Well, I would be very shy. I would be
You're
very
like,
shy.
I love you.
I don't know, Assad. I think I can't really talk right now. Okay, so we're going to need to see some straightening out of what's going on in around that dining room table now in the living room where the couple is sitting with their arms draped around each other, and then there's Daniel questioning them. So I think that's going to be exciting to have Daniel's feedback of like, okay, what the fuck? And I also remember that you were in San Francisco. Right. Like I saw you there. Right. He's saying to Armand, like, because now I remember that you were there.
Well, that whole Dubai scene, I think, is going to be every time we go back and forth to Dubai. Well, not every time, but I think a lot of the focus in Dubai is going to be about memory, because they're not saying memory is the monster for no reason. Right.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be heavily focused on those memories that. Going to get into it. However, they don't remember whether they got amnesia. Louis and Daniel will say got amnesia and they can't remember. It's going to be interesting to see all that stuff start to come bubbling back to the surface and all the craziness that's going to ensue after.
Yeah. There's that scene in the most recent trailer where Daniel says something like, I want to know for me what happened between us.
Yes. Yes.
To me, I'm like, man. Oh, Daniel.
When we get confirmation that Armand has been screwing with their memories, I'm simply going to take to Twitter and I'm going to write four little words and everyone's going to know what I mean by it. I told you so. That, and I'm going to say those four little words when Stott killed Paul. We'll get to that later, but...
Savage. All right. Well, we can keep talking about that as we go through the other episode titles. Okay, let's go.
Yes.
Season 2, episode 2. Do you know what it means to be loved by death? That's the theater.
Yes, exactly.
This is going to be all Paris, and we're going to see Armand as Armand in Paris in this episode. I don't think that we'll see Armand other than as Armand slash Rashid in the first episode. Because I don't think Louis will have met him yet. So
right.
Episode 2, that's when we're going to get Armand is Armand and the theater. Santiago, we have not been talking enough about Ben Daniels, Joanne.
I don't really know too much about Ben Daniels. I'm going to have to look into him, but he does seem like he's going to be a really good fit for Santiago to play such a colorful, charismatic character.
Right? Stephen Ray was Santiago in the film, and I mean, I love Stephen Ray. It was
dull though. It didn't the little bits that I've seen of Santiago in the series. He seems way more full of life and animated. Right? I don't know if I'm getting the right words there, but yeah.
No. Like I get it. Like to me, obviously, I think like the costuming to me is giving like 1930s like cabaret, that time frame in Germany before the kind of the rise of the Nazis is going on in the background, but that like kind of cabaret culture, that's what it reminds me of, like his costuming, like the leather straps and everything. Also, well, you know, 1970s village New York, I guess. Well, maybe all
they
over
made
now.
A comeback.
That's right. So I am so excited about seeing what he does in this role, because it just looks like I want to root for frickin' Santiago. I've never wanted to root for Santiago ever in my experience of interacting with Interview with the Vampire. And here we go. Ben Daniels, changing my mind.
What I loved in one of the trailers was the look of horror on Claudia and Louis's face as they're watching and they're realizing that they're actually killing this woman in front of all these people in the theater, and they're all cheering and thinking this is pretend, and yet it's really happening. The look of horror on their face is just everything.
Yeah, I gotta look. I only look at Louis, and I can see that Louis is put off, but I have to go back and look at Claudia, because I feel like Claudia, in the book, Claudia is interested. She's like not put off by it. Louis is, mm-hmm. but Claudia's like, I'm interested. And, it's going to be very exciting to see that scene, to see them witness that the first time, to see their interactions then, because what I sense in that second episode is going to be like the episode where Claudia came into the picture in season one, where it was like all fun and games through all that whole episode right up until the end when things start to go awry. And I think this is going to be the happy montage where they're racing around on motorcycles and having
and taking pictures. And she proclaims, "I love it here. I never want to leave."
She does. It's different. I love it. I'm like,
I don't know, Claudia.
Claudia changes her mind right quick, and good, because Claudia is clever. Claudia is clever. Okay, so I think that's what we're going to see in episode two. What about in Dubai in episode two? I think that this is, it's just probably going to be more of the same. It's just going to be the entire Dubai season is them unwinding this ball of yarn.
Well, we know based on the title that we don't get to Daniel's memory of stuff until and really Louis, right? Because a couple of the titles ahead are indicative that we're gonna go back to when Claudia, we're gonna see when Claudia gets killed, and I think that's gonna be via a memory of Louise, because we said something to Armand about it. Like I said, I don't want to jump ahead, but also too, there was a title that kind of makes you think that we're going to be it doesn't make you think, we know we're going to be going back to San Francisco then. So I think episode two, we're still going to be fucking with Daniel. I think with the memory situation, I don't think it's going to be like revealed right away. You know, I think he's going to have a lot of questions. There's going to be a lot of bullshit coming his way and Louis's way from Armand. And I don't think we're going to really get into the meat and potatoes of what crazy stuff is that's happening in Dubai till later episodes.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it is going to have to, like I said, I think it's going to have to stretch out. So they're going to have to spend a couple of episodes kind of sidestepping it, because they sort of can't mm-hmm. go, well, Daniel, here's how it all went down. You know, because right. what, like, that would be very boring storytelling, honestly.
And I think for episode three, I think it's going to be more of the same in Dubai. I mean, I don't know. What else could they be doing in Dubai? More, you know, he's telling them how he met.
Right.
You know, this is the story, obviously, because here we are, he's showing about the theater. So it'll just be more, I think, about their relationship and things like that, because episode three seems to me like that's all about the theater as well.
Okay, so no pain. It could be. I think
that's another line when he's up on the stage.
When they're up on the stage, that's the same scene. Yep. So they're back to back. The no pain statement was made in conjunction with the woman on stage's death. So, do you know what it means to be loved by death? Is the beginning of the scene kind of that is playing out on the stage. And then at the end, so the end, and Santiago says, "Do you know what it means to be loved by death?" Armand at the end of it comes in and kind of gets the woman in his thrall. This is book Armand now. Gets right. her in his thrall, and he says the words, "No pain." And tying that in, FYI, to that Playboy interview or story that Anne Rice wrote, where she talked about how Armand, when he made his kills, he would try and find people who they wanted to die, and then he would make it a pleasant process for them. So that's very in line to me. So Armand says that no pain to the girl on the stage, but they're not in the same scene still, right? So do you know what it means to be loved by death? Episode two, there's a whole story arc in there that then in episode three, no pain. That's not it's not still on stage. So I think that no pain, could it be about Claudia?
No, I don't think it is. But when I was doing a little digging around, some people were saying that this could be a tie-in to some scenes with Nikki and Armand and Armand's previous coven from 1790s
Paris. Oh, I love that even better.
Because we do know Nikki comes in, right? So
I love how this fandom just like crowdsources ideas about what's going on. I love it.
Yeah, it's great, especially when there's so much, even if I knew the source material as well as you did, or as well as a lot of the people in this fandom do, you can't remember everything, right? So it's good to have so many resources to kind of tap into. When I saw, like, I kept seeing this over and over about this theory. I saw maybe like three or four different places.
Perfect sense. That's the best. I love it. I love it. That's really, really good. And that's then an episode three. We'll get to see Lestat on stage and Nikki and Lestat and Armand. Oh my God. Oh my God. There is a scene that they've taken a screen capture from and I've seen it published everywhere. It's Lestat walking in like whatever century, 18th century clothing, sauntering in, and he's got like this crucifix slung over his shoulder and he's just walking with it. And it's just like, God damn it, Sam Reed, please just calm down because it's too much for me. I can't. Oh God, I'm really exposing my fangirl
only self. 14, was it? 13 days to go? Yeah.
I know. It's coming up. It's coming up. Okay. Next episode then is season two, episode four, I Want You More Than Anything in the World. That's going to be when...
That's an easy one.
Yeah, that's when Armand, he's fallen in love with Armand.
Yeah, courting Louis.
In the trailer, there's quite a scene of Louis standing behind Armand and ripping his shirt off of his chest, Joanne.
Oh, Christina, calm down. Listen, if they ripped Sam Reed's shirt off, I'd be freaking out too.
Sam Reed rips his own shirt off. That guy, I really think he's very comfortable being naked in movies. You can watch it. You can go see everything.
Remember that blanket? Oh, that blanket was the star of season one. That silky lucky blanket.
Wow.
What I think is going to be, at least it's going to start out, right, with kind of those happy moments. They're going to be in love, skipping around Paris and, you know, buying each other croissants and shit, whatever they did back in the day in Paris. It's going to be a romantic episode, right? We're going to see their budding romance.
I think also we might see, this might be where we get more of Claudia doing a couple of things. One, I think this
could be Claudia and Madeline.
And Madeline.
But her, yeah.
I think that this would be Claudia and Madeline. And I don't know what kind of relationship, if they're going to make it a romantic relationship or how they're going to configure it, or it's going to be like maternal.
Oh, Claudia and
Madeline.
And Madeline, romantic?
Could be, or it could be maternal. Last time in the book, it was maternal.
It was maternal.
And
right.
In the movie, and then obviously in the movie, and obviously in the book. But now Claudia's a little older. And so, you know, maybe they're closer in age or whatever. I don't know. But it could be a relationship, like romantic, or it could be maternal.
You might be right, because why would she be looking for a maternal figure when it was so important to her when they let Lestat back in? She didn't want them to be parental figures, father figures.
Right.
So she wanted them to be brothers to her. So why now would she be go looking for a maternal figure?
She wouldn't. She wouldn't. It's going to be her. I think it's going to be a romantic relationship. I think also at the same time, we will see where in the beginning, you know, Claudia, when I talked about it last week on our last episode about Claudia in the blue dress and how that was like signaling to me or kind of, I don't know, making me think of like Alice in Wonderland. And you said Raggedy Ann. All right. at that time, she loved it and she was excited. And you could tell when she was on stage in that dress, she looked super cute and she looked like she was having fun. And like, there's a voice, like a kind of a creepy one where Armand says, oh, the coven has grand plans for her.
She looked like a little cute, like a little cherub, you know?
But later she's got like a sandwich board on, like she's advertising the play or something. It looks like she's doing some advertising of the play out in the streets. And I think that we're going to see her pulling away from the vampires, the theater, and realizing that, you know, they're not really wanting her as a part of the coven as much as just kind of something to use and abuse and kick around, kind of like, you know, instead of her being a featured player, she's out in the streets advertising the play.
Yeah. And for Claudia, that's just, that's not going to fly for our Claudia.
That will not do, sir.
I mean, what's next? She's going to work the concession stand. I mean, come on. This is Claudia.
Well, could be, right?
About.
So I think that's in Dubai at that time. I think in that episode, that's when we're going to get him reading the book saying, I fucking hate these vampires or whatever. Fuck these vampires.
Fuck these vampires. Yeah. It's exactly when it's going to be.
Okay, so then we go into episode 5, Don't Be Afraid, Just Start the Tape. So now they're going to kick us back to San Francisco, back in time.
Right, so this episode is going to be very, I don't think we're going to see much, if any, of Europe, primarily Dubai and 1970s San Francisco, which I'm here for it. I want to know what the hell happened too.
I am absolutely here for it. Luke Brandenfield. They did this cutaway in the latest trailer where Daniel says, I want to know for me what went on between the two of us in San Francisco. And they cut to Luke Brandenfield standing there and Louis rushing him.
Right. Right. That's probably when he was like, you know, turn me. And he, you know, went for his jugular instead.
Right. But there is another trailer that shows Luke Brandenfield as Daniel, young Daniel, being bitten on the neck in the same place where we saw his scar in the first episode.
Right.
We then see Armand biting him in like, as if he was biting him in that place. So now, what does that mean?
Maybe it was like a love bite during sex. I don't know.
This is all not canon, right? So this happens between Armand and Daniel, but it doesn't happen the same night that Armand isn't there. This isn't happening then. It happens later. It happens when, after the interview, and Daniel goes to find Lestat and finds Armand instead.
Bad luck, Daniel.
And then you get Devil's Minion, mm-hmm. where Armand is at first chasing him all over Europe. He's just popping in at night and he's like, wake up. Yeah, that's in Queen of the Damned in Devil's Minion. When Armand is chasing Daniel, he goes, well, you know, I won't kill you tonight. Just take off. But next time I see you, I might kill you. for the longest time. So Daniel would be doing something, you know, like trying to do something. He went all over Europe and all of a sudden Armand would pop up and they'd spend some time together and Armand would take off again. But throughout the process, Armand was feeding Daniel his blood little by little. So Daniel was getting like addicted to his vampire blood, but he wouldn't change Daniel. Armand refused to do it. So then they fell in love and then in the end he does create Daniel because Daniel gets sick. And he says, well, Daniel's going to die if I don't do this and I can't let Daniel go. So
do you think we're going to see any of that kind of pop up in this episode?
Oh, no, I think no. I think it will establish it, but I don't think we're going to get any answers about Armand and Daniel's history. Nothing meaningful anyway.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I know there are some people that really want the Devil's Minion stuff to like be acknowledged that it happened, but I don't think that they'd cram that into one episode. I wonder if Armand and Daniel's relationship won't get explored more in season 3.
Right. This maybe will just primarily focus on the San Francisco stuff with them, which is what I said earlier about, you know, in upcoming episodes. That's why I didn't think as you were watching episodes 1, 2, 3, that kind of area, we're not going to get much of Daniel and Armand and the memories and this, that, the next things. I think that's going to really be reserved for this episode. But yeah, I think this is going to be probably one of my favorite episodes because I'm so excited to really delve into what went on in San Francisco.
All right. So the next episode of the season is the ominous episode 6 that I think is going to be the heartbreaking episode for a lot of fans. I think this is going to be, for me, it will be a really, really heartbreaking episode to watch. So there's the title is Like the Light by Which God Made the World Before He Made Light. And that quote comes when he's talking to Claudia, and Claudia is worried that she's made him angry because she's killed Lestat, and he is trying to reassure her. He, you know, reassures her that he loves her and that he's going to be with her. And he goes into this whole thing, and in that section, he's talking about their travels and like sort of this adventure of their lives, and they're going to be living moment to moment. And he sees a silver clock kind of in a void. And he says, you know, so it was, he could see it because it was like the light by which God made the world before he made light. That was sort of kind of in that section. So to me, we remember.
The title hurts my simple head. I hope this is a good episode.
All right. But here, I think I'm going to clear this up. I think that's Claudia. I think we're in the Claudia death episode. And I think that because they call her a spark in the dark, and now sort of like the light by which
illuminated by a light. Yes. Okay. Spark in the dark.
I just feel like, you know, this is going to be that episode. And I think that you're going to see the trial in this episode. Now the trial, when I tell you, there's that scene with Delaney where she says, it's never been about me. And she's standing, it's in the new trailer. And she's standing in the yellow dress, and she turns around and she says it to him. And there is this rasp in her voice. Like, you know, she has, at that point, by the time she's sitting there on that stage, kind of flopped over, that vampire has been through shit.
Yeah, she's had a tough go at that point.
She has been fucked up. And when she turns around and she says that to him, it's, you know, it's not about me, or it's never been about me.
You found another one, Louie. You chose another one over me.
And that, yes, that other scene where they're having the argument where, you know, she's like, you've chosen another. He's your companion now. You've chosen another over me. That's the episode before where you're going to see her kind of falling away from the coven and just being unhappy in Paris. But this episode is going to break my heart.
Yeah, it makes sense that this is going to be the episode. What do you think is going to be going on in Dubai during this episode? Because I know what's going to be going on during it in episode 7, but this one, the reveal of how she was killed, I guess.
Yeah, they could be talking. This could be where,
or the why. Maybe the why they had.
There's a scene that Armand in Dubai is saying, "You're remembering Louis," at like Louis's memories are coming back to him, and he's remembering. And he says, even in the one previous trailer when we talked about the Jones cut at the beginning, he says that's how it happened. He acknowledges, like, okay, yeah, that is how it's coming back to me now. That's how it happened. So I think that this is that scene. This is that episode where you're going to get Armand saying something like, you're remembering Louis. Okay, so then we come to episode 7, which is I Could Not Prevent It. That's Armand.
I think this is going to, yeah, that's going to be heavily focused on Dubai and Paris as well. Because obviously I Could Not Prevent It is going to be, I think, right, where Armand is saying to Louis, you know, nothing he could have done. We know that's not true.
Maybe episode 6 is just the trial. Maybe episode 7 is when she dies.
When she dies. Could be.
Yeah, that makes more sense. Okay, so episode 7 is she's going to die in that episode. So in Dubai, that's when Louis's piecing it all together about how it happened.
And starting to remember maybe Armand's role in it. Maybe he didn't remember it the way that it happened.
And then the other storyline will be the aftermath of Claudia's death. She'll die. She'll die. And then the aftermath of her death, which will be Louis and Armand shacking up, you know, like taking off. And that's when they go on the, in the book, they go on the amazing museum expedition.
It's like their honeymoon.
Well, yeah, their honeymoon. But the way Louis describes it is just like, I walked through every art gallery that I could ever walk through. And he walked through them with me, you know, like that's what they were doing. It's just kind of, it sounds like instead of kind of barricading himself into a house and having rats and raccoons living around him, like the first depression,
he just wandered aimlessly around.
He just wandered aimlessly and just looked at art and museums and just stayed in this relationship. Now, the relationship he described as the love of his life, but do we believe that that's the case? What is that? It, you know, no, because it's not. Canonically, Lestat is his endgame. But even at that point, was Armand really the love of his life?
He thinks so at that moment, yeah.
Do you think he believes that when he's saying it?
I do. I think he believes it. And I also think that when you're immortal, you can have more than one love of your life, right?
I mean, it cheapens it, though. Like, it does, you know, like, yeah. If you're talking to someone, you're not going to go, well, you're one of the many loves of my life.
I think he believes it in that moment that he is the love of his life.
All right. So here, the question then also is, could Armand have prevented it?
Yes, 100%.
If you read the book, you know that Armand ultimately could have prevented it. If you read the book, you know that Louis knows from the jump that Armand could have prevented it. And Louis embarked on that relationship with him. The question is, in this telling of it, will Louis have not known that Armand could have prevented it? Will Louis believe Armand when Armand says, I couldn't do anything to prevent it?
Yes, he's going to believe him.
In the show. So you think Louis will have believed Armand?
Until something triggers his memory back in Dubai.
I'm on the fence about that. I'm on the fence. It could go either way for me.
That's a cop out, Christina.
No, I think but I lean more towards that Louis didn't know. And that he uncovers the memory in Dubai, and then Louis is legitimately shocked that that happened.
Yeah.
Instead of, and so that would mean that lengthy relationship and that Armand being the love of his life is actually true. Louis does feel like he's the love of his life.
Till he realizes it was a lie.
Until he realizes it was a lie. And he's also been realizing throughout time, as we know, because he talks a lot about Lestat, like even Armand in that scene says, Lestat, 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 Lestat. Like, you know, you never stop talking about Lestat, right? Or you never stop comparing me to Lestat. I'm never good enough.
Right. I can imagine
Armand saying.
I forgot about that scene. There's been so many trailers. Jesus, man.
I know. They've spoiled us. They have literally spoiled us. So I think you're right. I think I'm going to go with this, that I think that Louis is not going to legitimately, he is not going to realize that Armand could have prevented it, or he's not going to realize that Lestat escaped the burning of the theater. So there's two mysteries that Louis could be struggling with. And maybe it's Lestat more than, maybe he does know that Armand, because Louis'd have to be some kind of dummy to think that Armand couldn't prevent it. I mean, Armand was obviously running the show there. Well, I mean, it looks like he is anyway.
He doesn't need to be a dummy if his thoughts to believing it, right? If his mind was being manipulated.
Yeah, I want to stay away from too much mind control.
You have a right to be wrong.
I mean, I agree with you, but I don't know. I'm really resistant to, like, the whole thing is a mind bend by Armand, but it could be. Because that's where the mind bending would come in, right? That he'd make Louis forget that he could have possibly stopped it. In the book, Louis just knows and he just goes along. And Armand at the end of their relationship kind of goes, well, surprise, I could have stopped it. And Louis goes, I knew that. And he's like, wait, what?
Surprise. And Louis said, no shit, Sherlock.
Yeah, he did. The dialogue of our book versus Anne Rice is just very disappointing.
No shit.
You know, we're badly paraphrasing everyone. All right. So, okay. That's then that episode. So now let's look and see.
Episode 8.
Dun, dun, dun. I don't know what it's called. No one knows what it's called.
What do you think it's going to be?
I just feel like it's going to be the third season. I wonder if...
Didn't you say you thought it was going to just be called, you want it to be called The Vampire Lestat?
Right. Okay, so here's what I'm wondering if AMC is going to play the long game with us and not reveal that it's renewed for season 3 until they drop episode 8. And that episode is called The Vampire Lestat.
You want to know what I think the episode is called?
What?
Knock, knock. Who's there? It's me, Claudia. Let me the fuck in.
Well, fair. Her ghost does show up.
No, she doesn't get killed. And all
of
this. Oh,
my God.
No, I don't know if it's going to be The Vampire Lestat, because I was thinking over the weekend when I was doing my research for this episode, somebody said it. There's going to be something crazy that happens that doesn't happen in the books and is just going to throw everything off, whatever.
Well, yeah, but in the end, it's cool. Like, at first, Sam was like, eh? And then at the end, he was like, yeah, but it's cool. Because it kind of fits with the Chronicles. It doesn't necessarily happen the way it happened, but it fits with the Chronicles.
Maybe Louis kills Armand. He finds out what he did to Claudia.
Oh!
That he could have prevented it.
Oh, Joanne.
Well, I don't know. I'm just making shit up as I go. I don't know. I just wanted to hurt you.
Yeah, but Armand he stays for the whole thing. No. I can't let Assad die. He died. He already died in one of the shows I watched with him in, and I really hated that. And now he's going to die in this.
Calm down. I'm usually wrong.
It's true. We both are. So fair enough. All right. Well. Okay. So I think it'll be a nod to the third season or to Lestat.
I love that. And all joking aside, I love it. I would love if they called it The Vampire Lestat. I think that would be epic.
Oh, I mean, it would be complete fan service, really, truly. If they would do that and name it The Vampire Lestat, it would be absolute fan service, because that sentiment is not shared just by me. That's shared by lots and lots of people, that they would like to see some allusion, if not The Vampire Lestat, then something, an allusion to that book. But... they're not going to do that, because it would be such fan service. They would just, they'll do something that'll be like, you know, I don't know. Maybe Louis and Lestat get back together at the end. You know, I don't know. Maybe they give it a tied up ending.
Louis and Lestat's excellent adventure.
Well, maybe they give it a tied up ending that's neat and tidy. Just in case it doesn't get renewed for a third season, or if they're going to put a period at the end of Interview and then have Talamasca happen and then plan for, you know, I don't know, something else. Sam to do The Vampire Lestat separately. Is Interview its own standalone series, limited series, and then that's it. Once it's done, it's done. Or do they just roll it into a third year?
I'm hoping for a third year, obviously. But I'm going to refer to the episode from here on out as Knock Knock, Who's There? Claudia.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough.
You have your delusions. I have mine.
It'll be nice if Louis and Lestat get together, like Louis goes looking for him or something, and at the end he finds him, or Lestat rolls up on Dubai and he's like, what's up, bitches? It's me. And Armand, get the fuck out. And whatever.
Oh, I am dying for a modern day Lestat.
I know. It would be very cool to see
skinny jeans and a man bun or something.
Wait, well, I mean, he would have a man bun, that's for sure.
I don't know why he's a hipster, but he is in my mind, I guess.
Are hipsters still a thing, girl?
Maybe in Dubai they are. I've never been there. Have you? I don't know what happens.
One thing that I wanted to pull out, especially from the trailer, is the gravel scene where Louis is immersed in gravel.
Okay.
What did you see when you saw that?
When it's like she's crawling out of it?
Yeah, like he's sitting up out of the gravel. His face is coming up. It's like a tight shot on his face, and he's coming up. And the gravel looks like he's in a coffin or something.
Yeah, I have no idea what that's about. It's grainy, and I'm assuming it's grainy on purpose. So I have no clue. I know you tried to crowdsource it on Twitter, and not too many people even had any good speculation, had any speculation about it.
So it looks to me like it's gravel and that there's blood that's either coming from his mouth as he's coming up out of the gravel. Mm-hmm. Or
there's definitely blood flowing.
There's blood, and I can't tell if it's coming from his mouth or if that it's been poured over the gravel to awake him. I don't know what might have happened to make this happen. But why is he in a assuming that that's a coffin that he's in? Why is he in a coffin like filled with gravel?
I'm looking at the picture now that you had posted on Twitter, and it doesn't make sense that blood could be coming out of him, but it makes more sense that blood was dripped on him to wake him up.
Okay, so then the only thing I can think that is he is, that's when they, you know, in the book, they put him in a coffin and lock him in and then wall him in. He's like in a wall, mm-hmm. in a coffin that's locked. And that's his punishment. He's going to just be locked up like that forever. And
right.
Then,
and that's what Boris von Borster at Joss Minion said. He said that, or they said, hard to tell with the shadow, but I think this looks more like the Paris era hairstyle. I've been assuming this shot might be from Louis' imprisonment post-trial. I think that's more than likely the case.
I think the best case for it is that it's him. And Armand saves him in the book, as, and I would imagine does the same here, and then dribbles the blood over him to wake him up. That just makes the most sense to me about that. The final thing we wanted to do in this episode is to talk a little bit about a theory that was posed by a Twitter user, Doris Not Doris.
Their at is Ugly Step Sis D.
So she had a really good question on Twitter, and I wanted to kind of talk about it because Joanne and I like to talk about Paul, and that is, what would have happened if Paul hadn't died? Would Louis have still, in the show, we're just talking about showverse now, would Louis have ended up with Lestat?
I think so. I don't think he needed, look, if you're going with the theory that Louis, or I'm sorry, that Lestat had a hand in Paul's death to make a way for Louis to come join him because he didn't think he would otherwise. I don't think he needed to do that. I think Louis's obsession, love, and wanting to be with Lestat was strong enough. He would have left Paul dead or not. I don't think it would have made a difference if he was alive. I think it would have complicated things slightly, but I don't think at the end of it all, I think Louis still would have accepted the gift. What do you think? I'm sure you disagree.
There is a part. No. I agree with you. Actually, I agree with you. I think I was trying to play devil's advocate in my mind while you were talking, and I think I have a few, but no, fundamentally, I agree with you. I think that it would have happened. I don't think, and this is very interesting and kind of counters your point about Lestat tampering with Paul in order to do it. If you think Louis would go with Lestat regardless of Paul being alive or dead, that to me says you can't think that Lestat then tampered with
being involved. Okay, then I got to change it because I'm not ever going to come off the fact that Lestat tampered with Paul's mind and played him not a role, the role in him committing suicide. So all right, then by default, I have to think that that would have stopped Louis from going with him. Yeah, you're right. I can't think both. So,
all right. So what I think is actually that Louis would have gone with him. I think that because of a big difference, I don't think Paul's death is the catalyst that makes Louis in the show go with Lestat. I think that it would have happened anyway. It would have taken longer. But here's my thinking on that. Lestat was engaging with him and wooing him. There was like Lestat and Louis were...
Well, they were dating. I mean,
they were dating at one point. And they had to break up for, you know, Louis's hangups, but I think that Lestat would have been able to, for God's sake, Lestat has the mind gift in the TV series. You know, like he can cause people to do, he can make time stop. Like definitely Lestat would have still got him whether or not Paul died, whether it's because he drove Louis
you're
mad.
Right. You're right.
But I think that that's only because you had Lestat in contact with Louis before Paul's death. Because in the book, the reason that Louis puts himself in harm's way and even sees Lestat is because Paul has died. So Paul died first in the book, and then Louis met Lestat. In the show, Louis met Lestat, and then Paul died. So it's not as important in the show if Paul actually died.
I'm going to take everything back that I just said. I take it all back, except that Lestat played a hand. I think Lestat played a hand in Paul's suicide, not because he needed Paul out of the way, because I do believe, and I was like, why do I believe it, though, that Paul would have, I mean, that Louis still would have went to Lestat, whether Paul was dead or alive. It's because I don't think that fundamentally Lestat killed Paul to get him out of the way. I think he killed him because he pissed him off at dinner.
Oh!
Yeah. And that's petty.
Oh!
And if there is a petty bitch in this universe, his name is Lestat.
Oh!
Right?
Oh! Joanne, that's really...
I think he just killed him for funsies.
Oh!
So there I go. Now I can have my cake and eat it too.
Okay, but... Joanne, you are damning Lestat. I can't allow that. Because, I mean, you can have that opinion.
But, okay, I'm damning Lestat, but also because I'm sick in the head, it makes me like him more.
Oh, Joanne!
Am I really damning him?
Yeah,
thinking, like, he did it just to fuck with him. Like, there is nobody on the face of this earth who didn't want to kill a motherfucker just because they pissed them off. You can't. Because it's morally wrong, it's illegal, but in Lestat's world, he can do it.
I don't know, because he's trying to woo the brother. Mm-mm. I don't know. I mean, then Lestat is terrible.
That's my theory. Come at me. I'm fine with it.
Do I think that Lestat had a hand in it? Probably not. I hope not. But I've often grappled with that when it comes to the book. So see, in the book, Paul's death is viewed as suspicious. Right. There's like some kind of mystery around Paul's death. He appears to walk out and then he kind of gets pulled off of wherever he is, the stairs or whatever he falls from. I'm never really clear on what that image is. I can never get that in my mind's eye where he's standing. Like, I just feel like he kind of tumbles downstairs or tumbles off of something high. But anyway, he gets pulled by an unseen source. The slaves report this, you know? And so people who saw it said, you know, he's pulled off. So Louis is just like kind of, you know, beating himself up over and over again throughout time because he just didn't believe enough in what Paul was saying. And he was, you know, sort of like, well, maybe Paul was really seeing things. Maybe Paul was having, you know, visions. And I would have believed it of anybody else, he says in the book. You know, if somebody saw a saint appear, he would have believed it because he was that kind of religious. But because it was his brother, he was like, nah, it's not visions.
He's not that special to see that.
No, but I mean, in this universe, supernatural things exist. Vampires exist. So therefore...
Yeah, if there's evil, there has to be good.
Well, assuming that vampires are even evil. And I mean, of course, that's part of the debate about it throughout Interview with the Vampires. Like, are they from evil? Yeah, I think that he would have gotten together with him no matter what. And fuck, it's Sam Reed, right? Like, obviously.
Yeah, who would say no?
What? Like, really?
He could kill my old fucking family. I'd be like, come on, bitch.
My God. Well, you are Italian.
It's true. Actually, I do have a list for him if he's listening. Call me. Call me, Lestat. I got a list.
All right. Well, let's see. I guess that'll wrap us up for tonight. I guess I wanted to just give a shout out to everybody who is going to be going to the premieres. That's coming up this week for many people. I am so thrilled that so many great people are going and getting to experience it.
I can't wait to see the pictures.
The actors are going to be there, girl. Like, Sam Reed is close to where you are. No joke. I mean, you're close.
If I wasn't lazy, I could get in my car and be there in an hour and, you know, cause a scene. But
Joanne, I don't even know.
I'm old. I'm tired. I know.
I should have sent you. I should have said, as the now you're the only talent on the podcast, you've got to go. You've got to go to New York, Joanne.
Packed up my Vampire Insider business cards, got in my car and tootled to New York. Slip a card into Sam's back pocket when he's walking away.
Call me.
Call me Sam. Thanks. Dad, I might go just to fucking do that. That would be epic.
Oh, God. Anyway, all right. Well, good luck to everybody. Hope you guys get autographs and get a chance to meet those guys and tell them that we love them. And we have, as I said before, have a great season lined up for you once the show drops. We've got so many great co-hosts coming up to fill that empty third seat.
Really good ones.
You can come and follow me at Christina Gen X on Twitter and our podcast page, Joe, what is it? At Vampire_Insider.
Yes, it is.
All righty. Well, I'm going to say goodbye.
Bye, Christina.
Bye.
Sexy. I like it. Call me Christina. That was my nickname in high school. Condensed but deep. I don't even know what that means. I don't know.
It's vaguely sexual. And I just snorted.
Did you just snort?
I did.
My God, girl. Get it together.
Oh, my God. All right. That'll be edited out.